WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's Monday night, and you know that means it's time for another edition of the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTLFChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Game, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen and support the channel for free. You can use credit code Rocksock or Lindsay Morton in the Fortnite app shop. Chris hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
We had drama, we had intrigue, and we had possible departures as we head out of Backlash?
That seems to be a thing. And the biggest thing from tonight was it was basically open mic night for everyone.
Yeah, like everybody got to talk tonight, whether they wanted to or not.
Everyone had a voice, which is good. And that, like, you want to hear the different characters. You want to hear them have an opinion and a voice and talk about it, because we don't often get to hear from everybody on the roster. And it was a nice change that everyone, like, hey, people are going to talk. It's going to set up things. And it moved the show along. The crowd was quiet, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. That didn't make it great.
Like, they were loud for Roman. They were loud for Oba. They reacted to some stuff, but Knoxville was pretty quiet, which might hurt them going forward if they're going to rotate cities. If you're not loud, they may not come back right away.
The point is to get a reaction, and if the crowds aren't going to react, then yeah, they won't come back. I mean, that's kind of how there is to it. I don't even know what else to say, because that was, they actually like did that to Atlanta for a while. I think it was like either Saturday Night's Main Event or something else that like they came here and Atlanta was just kind of sort of quiet about it, and they were like, well, fuck this, we're not coming back. And they didn't come back for like a hot minute, and they haven't brought like a really pay-per-view back here in a while
since the one The Rock appeared at.
Yeah,
which was what, October, whatever, Bad Blood, that's what it was.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, yeah, they want to go where places are hot. They need that crowd. They need the reaction. That's the whole point of the show. Like, they might be pumping in some crowd noise, but they're not pumping in everything. And that's the whole thing, is like, they need that noise. The reaction is everything. That's what makes it good. If, you know, everybody's just sitting here watching, you know, people wrestle and people talk, and nobody's really having that guttural reaction to things, then it's boring, right? Like, I understand that is how some things are done somewhere, but that's not how we do them here. So like, they're looking for those crowds to react.
They are looking for them to react. They want them to react, and they gave them every opportunity to react with giving people the voice. They wanted people to react to them talking, and they kind of didn't react as one would have hoped for a lot of things, but they got major stuff over that they needed to with this crowd in Knoxville,
mm-hmm.
which included the Vision coming to the ring, and Heyman talked about Bron Breakker beating Seth Rollins and said there will never be a reason for them to mention Seth freaking Rollins' name ever again. And then Austin Theory aired his grievances, even though it's not Festivus. He talked about the Street Profits. He said how Angelo and Montez want the tag team titles because Bianca can't pay the bills anymore, because, you know, she's pregnant. He started talking about Joe Hendry, and then the Street Profits came out and said Theory's right. Bianca couldn't take care of the bills because she's having a baby. So somebody had to come to Raw to whip their ass all over Knoxville, Tennessee.
Exactly.
And Ford's like, we're going to come back and win the tag team titles. Logan said the only thing Ford has done in the last 6 months is organize a baby shower. And he did the fake laugh. And then they started talking about Logan Paul. Can we fire Logan Paul as Joe Hendry appeared? And it set up the 6-man tag team action, The Vision, taking on Joe Hendry and the Street Profit.
I like the grouping of the Street Profits and Joe Hendry. It's a nice little pairing they've got going on there. Good chemistry. The match was really good. It was really entertaining. Again, there was chemistry going on everywhere. The Vision played their part right. Street Profits and Joe Hendry played their part right. But, he issue who shall not be named, at least for the next 5 minutes, did appear. And he did interfere. And while he, tries he might to be helpful, Seth freaking Rollins kind of gets in his own way sometimes, you know?
He did. He was helpful enough to allow the Street Profits and Joe Hendry to win. But him and he helped Dawkins up. Breaker return. Rollins moved. Dawkins got speared. Montez was not happy about it.
I laughed so hard because it was like, that was just a nope. You could just see it. Plain as day. Nope. Nope. Not taking that. Nope. Love you, but not that much. And Seth just, it's almost like Seth kind of like half pushed.
It did Dawkins look like he pushed him into the, in the way. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
And then, he immediately recovers, right? And he immediately, super kicks Braun, or super kicks somebody else out of the ring. But like, it was Braun. And like, and then it's like, yeah, Montez and Seth kind of get into it. And it's like, Seth, what are we doing here, Seth? Are you just falling into bad habits? Are you a secret agent? Are you just getting in your own way of things? I mean, what are you doing here, bud? What's going on? But yeah, I like this. I thought that was really good. And then we had a follow-up segment backstage with Seth and the Street Profits where they were not happy.
No, they were not. They were not happy. And then Ron's like, we should talk if you're serious about taking the tag titles away from the Vision. And Ford was like, we? There's no we.
There is no we.
And Dawkins is like, maybe we should hear him out. And Montez was not having any of it. And then the Logan Paul was at, and Austin Theory were asked about everything and Joe Hendry and all the things. And Logan's like, I'll Vincent Van Gogh myself if he has to listen to this Joe Hendry song again. And Theory was like, let's go to dinner and all the things. And they decided to leave, but someone was in the car.
Mm-hmm.
She's been spotted with them for weeks, and now she's in the car.
Who could it be?
One Maxine Dupree.
Is Maxine going to leave her boys for the Vision? We'll have to see. I like how Dawkins is like, let's hear him out. And Montez is just like, be gone, Satan. Just leave. I see you. I see what you're doing. I am not giving you the benefit of the doubt. I do not trust you. Go.
Penta came to the ring, said he's a fighting champion, and told Ethan Page to come out and say to face if he felt otherwise. Page came out. Page said he loved the face, to say to Penta's face, but you paint your face for 30 minutes and hide who you are. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm from the greatest country in the world, Canada. Page talked about beating Penta last week in the tag match. He said that should make him the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship, but he wondered if Penta was afraid to lose to him again. And Penta's like, I'm ready to fight at any point. He challenged Penta to a match at Saturday night's main event on May 23rd. Penta's like, anytime, any place. Rusev came out. He said, he's not amused with Ethan Page, but getting the title shot before him. Rusev did most of the work, and then Page pinned Penta. Page claimed that he told Adam Pearce that Rusev does, in fact, deserve a title shot. But then Javon Evans just came in and then started bad-mouthing him. And, he shouldn't get a title shot. He can't even beat me. And Javon Evans comes out and was like, I didn't say any of that, even though that might be true. I never said any of that. They got a shoving match. It led to a match between Javon Evans and Rusev. It was good. Good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Like, it was a good setup. It was a good overall grouping. Like, again, it's there's a lot of contention for Penta, which is nice. And they're setting up your pairings. They're setting up everything else. So it's like Rusev at some point could come for Penta. You know, Javon Evans could. Ethan Page is obviously going to get the shot. So, like, you have a nice sort of mix going on here where you can swap people in and out and run a couple different stories. So, I like how they're doing that.
Javon Evans beat Rusev. In what kind of was a send-off, Io was backstage and Asuka was there. They smiled, they hugged, they spoke a lot of Japanese. Asuka said, I was looking for someone to take over my position, and Io finally became that person. Asuka's very happy for Io. She's proud of her. Io's like, even though they fight, they will always be family. She said goodbye to Asuka. They hugged. Asuka left.
This kind of follows up speculation from Backlash, where, you know, is Asuka leaving? There's a lot of indications that potentially she is, or she could just be simply switching brands. She could just be going over to SmackDown and she'll show up on Friday.
No, she's not showing up on Friday.
Let me have this.
So, did you notice the one thing about Asuka tonight?
She wasn't wearing her normal makeup.
She went back to the original makeup.
Yep.
With the line across her face.
Yep, I saw that.
She was back to being no longer like evil Asuka.
She has been purged the evil. She's cleansed.
She's cleansed.
She's now just Asuka.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me.
I mean, I think we'll talk a little bit more about this on Thursday, because I'm sure by the time we get to Thursday, more information about the situation will have come out. But like, if it is Asuka leaving and this is sort of her swan song, this is a good way for her to go out, because I think she went out the way that she wanted to. I'm glad that they did let her finish the story, at least with Io. Because the one thing about the situation that's been going on, which is, you know, the departures and the firings and everything else that has happened, is stories have been left sort of in the lurch, or people never got to finish them. And that can cause like separation. It's like for a performer like Asuka, is like you really should let her finish this. And so I'm happy that they did. I'm happy that they gave her this send off if she is going home. And even if she's just taking a break, like she's just going to go chill somewhere and, you know, cook good food and have a good time and just, you know, sort of recharge her batteries. Because like, here's the thing with Asuka, she's been going consistently now for what, at least a year to 2 years,
what, since she came back from injury?
Yeah, so she really hasn't had much of a break in that time, because she's been carrying a lot of these stories. So yeah, I mean, if she's going home to take a rest, absolutely, girl, go recharge your batteries. If this is the end, okay, you know, I'm sad that she's going, because I think Asuka has been a tremendous performer for them and a tremendous performer in the industry. Like, I understand all good things must come to an end, but like, I'm sad to see her go, because I think consistently Asuka has been a standout in the women's division. She is an entity unto herself, and she has been the whole time. Like, so, you know who Asuka is.
You do. So the official wording is she's semi-retired, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Where she's not fully retiring, because she'll probably have another match or two somewhere at some point when she's ready. And it may be for WWE again. But full-time on the road, not a thing. Part-time on the road, probably not a thing. Once in a while, if she wants to, she may do something.
I'm trying to think of how long she's been with them. I think it's been like, what, almost 10 years?
I think so. Maybe longer.
And then she had a career in Japan before that, because she's been wrestling for a long time. So yeah, if this is it, if this is her retirement, go enjoy yourself, girl. And it's not to say that she, you know, she can't come back and sign like a Legends contract, or if she wants to go home and do stuff in Japan, absolutely do that. She will have a career after this. She can do pretty much whatever she wants after this. And, you know, the fact that she's probably going to go take a rest, go take a break, and then she's going to decide where she goes from there, do the thing. But she's thank you, Asuka.
She's been there for 11 years. Just about.
11 years.
Anyway.
And then she's been wrestling like for what, a decade before that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Asuka's the one she put in her place, the new Asuka. Io Sky took on Sol Ruka. Fun match.
It was fun, but I feel like it was awkward in spots. I think they were feeling each other out a lot.
And that happens when you don't work house shows. You have to feel yourself them out on live TV. But it was a fun match. I'll see it again. I like the finish, how she avoided the Soul Snatcher, and they showed respect.
Yes.
Then the backstage called her the future, and they shared a moment. And then Becky Lynch showed up and said, "You're supposed to be the next big thing," or whatever, and you couldn't even beat Io Giannetti. So, you know,
there's that.
Oh, Bex. Actually, it was funny because, well, it's not really funny, but like today is the anniversary of the moment where Becky announced her pregnancy with Asuka. Mm-hmm. And I saw that clip floating around. And I was like, oh, it's like one of the most wholesome moments in wrestling ever. And then Becky rolls up and it's just a dick. It's like, ah, oh, nice.
Very, very coincidental that they happened at the same time. Brie Bella and Paige came to the ring. They're here for, they're ready for a fight, and where's the Judgment Day? They called us out, now we're here, so let's see what you got. Roxanne and Raquel come out, and they welcome to their, them to their show, and they used to Roxanne loved to watch Paige and Brie on TV back when they were still young and relevant. Roxanne remembered me, you know, I met you when I was younger, Brie, you know, you said I would carry on the Bell legacy someday. And then Roxanne took an issue with Brie setting the bar so low. Brie insulted Roxanne by saying she's, you know, you're a disappointment to your mother. Raquel said they could come, they should just save some time, just hand over the belts. We don't need to embarrass you, all the things. And then they started to fight. Liv Morgan showed up, helped lay out the tag team champions. Solid stuff.
Very solid stuff. Like, we'll see where this goes. I think my only concern with this is I was a little worried about Liv when she rolled up because, and I don't know if it's she's been covering it with her clothes or it was the angles or whatever, but you could see her hip bones. That was a little concerning.
They will, I believe it's next week they fight for the tag team title.
I like how he just glosses right over that.
I didn't notice it, so I can't comment.
I don't know why I saw it, but I saw it and I was like, oh.
I have nothing. I didn't notice any of that. Let's see. Oh yeah, we had the Oboe Femi Open Challenge where everyone was scared. So after 1 week, we kind of ruined it a little bit. So he went back after Adam Pearce said no one wants to fight you. He dragged Angel and Umberto out, beat them just like that.
Okay, this is really bad. This is really, really, really bad. When they turned up backstage, I was like, wow, WWE remembered they were employed. Are they going to push them? Like, that would be amazing, right? That's awesome. Because I haven't seen them on TV in a hot minute. So I was like, great, this is awesome. Another tag team in the mix. And then the Oboe Femi thing happened, and I was like, oh, shit. Forgot about that. Shit.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he just, like, he went backstage in fury and, like, basically beat up Berto and took him to the ring and had his way with him. I don't even know how else to say it. That's
pretty much it.
That's pretty much what happened.
As you mentioned, they were in fact backstage. They won an opportunity and they talked to Adam Pearce, and well, they got destroyed for it. But Adam Pearce was also speaking to the original El Grande Americano, Julio and Bruto. Liv and Dom interrupted, and Liv said Dom wants more gold and all the things. Dom called Americano not even a real luchador. And then Pearce was like, you know, tonight let's have it be you, Dom, versus El Grande Americano, because you have a championship right there, and you'll defend the AAA Mega Championship tonight on Monday Night Raw. They did some video packages hyping it up, making it feel like a big deal when it was the original El Grande Americano taking on Dirty Dominic Mysterio for the AAA Mega Championship. Finn Bálor attacked JD backstage before the match. And Dom and original El Grande had a good match. You had interference from El Grande, costing the OG the match. So we continue to build to May 30th, where it will be Mask versus Mask in AAA.
I like how they're building to that in Mask versus Mask, but it's like, I just kind of sighed at the end because I was like, another interference victory, another match with interference with a Judgment Day. And it's like, I understand what this was for. I understand it was for the Americanos to fight each other and decide things or to tease the match. Like, I get that's what this was, but it's like, I keep saying it until they stop doing it. I am tired of the interference angles with the Judgment Day. They need to start winning on their own. They need to stand on business and stand on their own. Like, I get it. They're heels. They're cowardly heels. They cheat. But they cheat all the fucking time. And WWE, I feel like, has come to rest on that a little too hard. And so it's like, you need to have them win on their own more. Because honestly, how do you expect me to take them seriously as bad guys? It's like, I know how this is works. They're going to come out. They're going to be skeezy. They're going to wrestle. There's going to be interference or shenanigans of some kind. And then they're all going to stand proud at the end. And that's the formula. And that's what they've been doing for like at least a year, if not two now. Do something different.
Yeah. So Monday Night Raw opened with Roman Reigns up showing up. He wanted to know where his title was. Some guy brought him the title when he was talking to Adam Pearce. And Adam Pearce was trying to talk him out of the whole, like, having Jacob show up. And no, he wants Jacob here. He wants Jacob to acknowledge him. Throughout the show, throughout the show, we had Jimmy try to talk to Roman about it. He said if Fatu can't have the respect of his own family, there'll never be respect on the outside. He said Jacob needs to acknowledge me. Jimmy's like, I understood, but I don't think we could trust him. Jay was trying to talk sense to him when he had finally arrived. He was doing this awkward walk and talk promo where he's trying to talk him out of it and all the things. And then he got laid out when Roman Reigns was in the ring with Jimmy. Then Jacob yells into the camera and he's, you know, you're going to have to beat it out of me, basically. Jimmy got beat up on the entranceway. Then mm-hmm. Roman and Jacob had a brawl for a while. They went back and forth. Roman beat him down with a chair for a bit. But Fatu came back. He hit the tongue and death grip multiple times. He started yelling at him. About Roman, about leaving him and his family broke. And he cleared the announce table off. He had a Superman punch. They started fighting some more. Eventually, he powerbombed Roman Reigns through the announce table. Adam Pearce came down with the producers. Michael Cole's yelling on the microphone. It gets, tase him, stunt, you know, get some people out of here. Get this man out of here. I think Corey Graves was trying to look at Roman. He's like, get away from him. You never know what, you don't want to get involved and all these things. Adam Pearce got knocked down at one point. As the end credits roll, Jacob's in the ring licking the world title, and then he leaves.
Which I'm not sure is entirely hygienic, but okay.
He starts. He's leaving, and he's yelling at the camera, and you know all these things, and the fans are yelling and screaming. So Jacob comes back, and he spears all three members of the Usos and Roman through the barricade. Pretty good ending.
A great ending, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I think it's a good way to recover Jacob after the loss at Backlash. Not to say that they necessarily needed to do a lot to recover him, but just to have him look strong and look competent and basically be like, well, Roman cheated to win. We all saw it. So Jacob technically didn't lose. And I like the narrative that they were talking about and all the articles and everything after the show of like, Roman didn't win. Roman survived.
Yeah.
And that's really how that went. And Roman is kind of, again, falling back on bad habits and old philosophies, and all of us are like, let's not do that. Let's not. We don't want that. But I like this. I thought this was really good because it's like, you know, Jacob's not going to acknowledge him. And I like how everybody was like, dude, this is a bad idea. This is so a bad idea. Please don't do it. Please, for the love of God, don't do it. And that motherfucker is going to come in here and he's going to mess you up. And Roman's like, nah, it's fine. And well, Roman ended up being left lame for his trouble. Actually, I guess for his vanity.
Yep.
So it was a very, very good ending. Like, again, I said this before Backlash, and I'll say it again, that this is very much paralleling what happened to Jay and the whole start of the bloodline and the fact that Roman is like, I need you to basically worship me. And Jay tried to fight it and Jimmy tried to fight it and they were not strong enough to defeat Roman. And that is what happened. And that's how the bloodline started. Jacob might just have what it takes.
He might.
Oh no. He was like, oh, he's like, you did not beat me. You did not. I know that one for a fact. So you and I, we're gonna fight. And Jacob was not having any Roman shit. None whatsoever. Like, he was like, I don't gotta be honorable about this. I don't have to be nice about this. You fucked me over. As far as I'm concerned, we're gonna fight. And damn, did he go for Roman. And Roman fought back. Like, don't get me wrong. Roman fought back. And Roman was equally as nasty. But Jacob was having none of Roman shit. So Roman has a problem on his hands.
And it is one mad Samoan. And we will see where it goes next week on Monday Night Raw. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for the Raw.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. And we will be talking Backlash. We'll be giving our review of the show, breaking it down and letting you know what we thought and who won and who lost. So it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
We're 50-50 for CB Radio on Saturday, but we'll be back Sunday for WTR, Sunday at Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern, and back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, when Raw ends live, to talk all about it. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chet, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Game, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSuck or
Lindsay M. Ward.
In a Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, L-E-N-S-W-D. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lins Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@symbol Lins Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lins Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211 chat. We'll see you Thursday for the rack. Get right back here for the Raw Post Show. Mondays, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.